coming up on Reframed.
Along with this week's special guest, Rhiannon Tracy. Today we'll be discussing the sex lives of college girls.
She was just one of the gals having a good bloody time, you know, living her best life.
She just gets all the hot guys to lift her in, obviously.
Don't have an OnlyFans, never gonna get one. Disclaimer.
Welcome back to Reframed, the podcast that reframes how disabilities portrayed in film and TV. I'm your host, Jason Climo, and today I have the wonderful Robin Lambert with me as my co-host, along with this week's special guest, Rhiannon Tracy. Today we'll be discussing The Sex Lives of College Girls, which is a TV show, very funny and lots of fun. But before we get stuck into that, let's say hello to Rhiannon and learn a little bit more about her. So welcome to the podcast, Rhiannon. Did you just want to start off by telling everyone a bit about you and what you do?
Hi, sure. Thanks for having me. Totally hyped for this. Jason, we always have such a blast when we do anything together, so this is probably going to be hilarious. My name is Rhiannon.
I'm excited.
So am I. My name is Rhiannon. I have been in a chair for 13 years, so I have a spinal cord injury due to a diving accident in Bali. I wear many different hats in what I like to call my real life. So I am the founding director of a spinal cord injury recovery and wellness center called The Next Step. I'm a keynote speaker and presenter. I'm a model and I'm also a lifestyle access and inclusion influencer across all social media platforms. So that's me in a nutshell.
Did you want to tell us a little bit more about your life as a model and a public speaker? And also, have you experienced any barriers being having a disability and being working in those industries?
Absolutely. So I tell people that I literally fell into every career that I'm in now. And when I say literally fell, like I fell into a swimming pool. So I have just really strived to create, I guess, a safe space and platforms in everything that I do and basically create what wasn't there when I needed it 13 years ago. So even though the disability access and inclusion has definitely advanced in the last 13 years, if I rewind the clock 13 years ago, lying in a hospital bed, looking for hope, looking for options, and looking for a unedited raw version of how my life might play out over the rest of my life, there weren't many answers to all the questions that I had. So I have just literally gone out and answered those questions myself, gathered the knowledge, gathered the people, and created the things that many of us within the disability community needed. So, for example, having my injury at 20 years old, there were no options for somebody who wanted to improve their quality of life after an injury like this here in Australia. The general mentality within our medical system here is get you independent in a chair and then whatever you do after you leave hospital is up to you. So I wasn't happy or satisfied with that, as many of us go through who have had an injury like this. And when I speak about disability and injury, obviously it's always going to be from the perspective of somebody with a spinal cord injury, because that's what I'm living with, as well as Jay. I'm not familiar with your story, Robin, so please excuse my ignorance. But so I visited a facility in America, which was incredible as it was. We're still lacking quite a number of support systems, be it mental as well as emotional support. So I basically collected all the information from around the world and opened my own spinal cord injury recovery center here in Melbourne. So we opened in 2013, I think it was, 8 years ago. Quick math, not my strongest suit. And then
it's not my forte.
No, yeah, definitely not my forte. And then I just went on to use my voice. So my background before my injury was I was a veterinary nurse, but I also was a musician. So I sang and played piano and wasn't able to sing the way that I used to due to my level of injury. I'm a C5 incomplete quad, so I had my vocal cords tampered with during my three surgeries. So I decided to use my voice in different ways. And given that I set my facility up as a not-for-profit organization, I needed to go out and talk about why this facility was important. And during that, was invited to speak at my high school, which I was politely told to leave as a student, which was a huge awakening for me, because I found myself speaking about the things that I wish somebody had spoken to me about as a 16-year-old when I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I realized that even with what I was going through with my injury, it was relatable to how I felt when I was 16. Like, I had no answers and I had no idea what to do. And it turned out that 1,200 students could relate to that as well. So I guess that set a fire in my belly to ensure that even though I wasn't singing and I wasn't expressing passion or emotion vocally via singing, I could with speaking. So I've been doing that, and that has been an absolute game changer and life changer for myself and hopefully my audiences. And then in that, I've found more gaps within, you know, the fashion industry, the beauty industry, many, many industries who are not fulfilling the disability representation niche like they should be. So, yeah, using my voice in that sense to kind of call them out, but at the same time work with them to show them how they can do better. Because I guess, you know, the difference with somebody who's sustained an injury that has led to a disability is that we have had the life experience of being somebody who is ignorant to disability. So we can have these conversations from both perspectives, and instead of getting angry and pissed off about the lack of inclusion and accessibility, I think we have a little bit of understanding as to why things haven't happened as fast as we know they should have. And I find that, you know, approaching these conversations with a sense of understanding instead of going, you know, head first or wheels first into them and being like, you should be doing better, going into them, you know, with a bit of empathy generally has a better outcome.
You do so many wonderful, amazing things, and I feel like we could talk for hours about it, and I would love to do that, but we don't have hours today. So my next question, I think we should give a bit more of a highlight about the next step and tell people a bit more detail about what you do there.
Absolutely. And then I'm going to ask you to tell people about your experience at the next step, being a OG TNS athlete, as we call them. But so the next step, I feel like that was the last time ago, but here we are.
So long.
So the next step is a facility that thrives on support for everybody affected directly and indirectly by whether it be a spinal cord injury or any other disability or neurological condition. We are now open to the general public because turns out everybody wants to improve their life, especially after COVID. But we incorporate a bunch of holistic modalities that complement exercise physiology, which is what our main focus is, exercise physiology. So as I mentioned earlier, the general mindset behind our rehabilitation systems in Australia, and, you know, just I have to just say, like, disclaimer here, they exist to provide something that is incredibly important, but the next step literally is the next step. Like, once you leave, here's an option for you. So we specialize in exercise physiology and work the body as a whole. So we don't pinpoint what's working and what's not, which is kind of what we go through going through the hospital system. We literally treat the body as a whole. And like I mentioned earlier, we support everybody that's affected. So, you know, the families, the support workers, the partners. It's really a community of people who have just come together and needed the information and the education and the options. Jason's been there before, so he's experienced it. And yeah, it's given me a purpose, definitely. You know, it gives me a reason to get out of bed every single day post an injury like this. It's definitely helped me overcome so many obstacles that have been because of my injury and disability, but also because of things like events that have occurred throughout my life that would happen to anybody. So I think I really think we should rename it a trauma recovery center, because we all experience trauma, all of us, every single one of us, in some way, shape or form. So,
and that's what it seems like you really focus a lot on now as well. You know, I went through 7 or 8 years ago or something hectic like that. Can't believe it's that long ago when we first met. But, you know, the shift that I've seen in the organization is just incredible. Like, you know, that more holistic approach and treating, you know, everybody with that more holistic approach, I think is amazing. And also treating like not, you know, just specific symptoms of like a spinal cord injury or something like that, and focusing just on, you know, walking again. It's more about like recovery of like mind, body, soul and all that kind of stuff. So I think that's awesome. And I've loved watching that grow, and I've loved watching you grow as well. And, you know, you saw me as just like such a fresh little man in a chair. I'm sure I've changed a lot since then.
I think it's been an awesome kind of evolution for the facility, because obviously as I've evolved throughout this injury and just throughout life in general, so has the facility. And being, I guess, the founder, the facility itself exists because of what happened to me, you know. So I think when you have an injury like this, the initial goal is, you know, we want to get back up on our feet, and that's for some, not for everybody. But I think since the day of inception with the Next Step, the reason we decided to call it the Next Step as opposed to other facilities that have existed with the word walk in their title or their name is because it's never really been about, you know, we've never highlighted the fact that life can't be good unless you're walking. You know, it's always been, we're here to improve your quality of life. We'll celebrate every achievement and milestone in which we'll assist you with. Like, even if you can feel a fart for the first time, we're going to celebrate that. But, you know, in saying that, yes, we have seen many people get back up on their feet. But I know as somebody who is living with this injury, I had my own realization many, many moons ago that my quality of life is going to be better in a chair. Yes, I can walk like a drunk person, but I can do more in my chair, and I can actually genuinely be happier doing the things that I did previously in a more adaptive way in my chair.
Yeah, and that's a big thing to break down as well, especially for people who like have an injury and I guess acquired disability, is, you know, there's this whole thing that's always about like finding a cure and changing your body, whereas, you know, we like to come from the social model of disability, which is about like, you know, regardless of your ability, regardless of what kind of symptoms or what kind of impairments you may have, society should still be providing what you need to actually thrive as a human being. So
absolutely,
I love that. And I'm yeah. I think Robin has one last question.
The final question, the question that we like to answer on, talking about breaking things down and evolving. Why do you think representation matters, whether that's in TV, film or fashion?
Well, I have two answers for that. First of all, the people who are not including those living with disabilities in their everything, it's a huge loss for them for a start, because they're losing money. Because at the end of the day, all of us living with disabilities, we're still buying the clothes, wearing the clothes, we're still buying the beauty products, we're still living, you know, in the same normalities as an able-bodied person. So, you know, boo-hoo for all these people who haven't come to this realization, you're losing money here. And also because we being us with disabilities, we are human. So it's inhumane to not include us. We, like I just said, we're doing all the same things. We're using the same things. I'm sure I use a lot more beauty products than some, but, you know, we all need shampoo. We all need a toothbrush. You know, like we are buying the things that able-bodied people are buying for the sake of this conversation. These people not including us, they're losing money. Why should they include us? Because we're freaking human beings.
There's a lot of money to be made, basically, and that's the business case of it all. So,
absolutely.
Lastly, where can people follow you and or hire you?
You can follow me at Rhiannon Tracy, My Real Life, across all social media platforms, and click the fun little links in there to hire me for all of the things. Don't have an OnlyFans, never going to get one, disclaimer.
We've got this recorded, so if you ever start one, I can send it to you as a little clip and be like, you said. Beautiful. Well, that was so fun. Obviously, it was always going to be fun with that big smiley face of yours. And I'm sure everybody loved getting to know you. But I think it's time now to jump in analyzing Sex Lives of College Girls. So, Robin, can you kick us off with the description?
It's basically just a comedy show about a bunch of girls who are going off to college for the first time. And it's their exploits, or should I say sexploits, at uni, and, you know, them trying to hook up and the general things that people do when they first go off to college. But I guess interestingly for us, it has a character with a disability called Lolo. No, that's the actor's name. I can't remember what the character is called, but there is a character with a disability at the college.
And Lolo is
Lolo
amazing.
Lolo is amazing.
I literally had that in my notes. I was like, Lolo is just the best.
Yep.
We'll kick it off, Rhiannon. Do you want to just start us off by letting us know what you thought about the disability portrayal?
So I stumbled across this particular show on one of those late nights of, like, I have nothing to watch. And it was so relatable in so many aspects. Not only did they have representation in not just the disability representation, but across many different minority groups. I loved this particular character, and I'm talking about the character in the wheelchair that we don't remember her name, but we remember her, we know her name as an actress, because she represented me like 5 years ago. So the crazy party girl in the electric chair that was like running into everyone and just not giving a fuck and making out with all the boys and wearing the slutty clothes. I loved that they actually used a disabled actor as well, because I think as a universe, we have progressed immensely when it comes to not using able-bodied people to play disabled people. So I'm loving seeing that across many, many different shows at the moment. But I just loved that she was like this young, vibrant, like, don't give a fuck character, and her disability wasn't even really spoken about, I don't believe. Like, again, I watched it a couple of months ago, but I'm pretty sure like there was no pinpointing conversation about her disability. She was included amongst the friendship group and none of the friends really like raised that conversation. She was really just included. She was just one of the gals having a good bloody time, you know, living her best life.
Yeah.
Literally. And going to naked parties. Amazing.
Oh my God. So good. I would never go to a naked party. Oh, my God. I mean, maybe I would. I don't know.
No OnlyFans, no naked parties, anything else?
Yeah.
I mean, never say never.
True. True. But you're right on the money. Like, there was, it was incidental representation in terms of, like, nothing was actually mentioned about, I believe her name was Jocelyn, by the way.
If you Google that when we
I
lost
I may
out.
Or may not have done it. Yeah. I may or may not have just done a really quick Google. Nobody actually mentions anything about her disability at all. And it's amazing because that is what we need more of, because she just got to be this, like, confident, like, sex positive, sexy, amazing woman who was just like going about doing it.
And I loved that the other characters were like going to her for sex advice too. Like, when does that ever happen in like TV? Like, so sex positive and so confident of herself. And I feel like they always kind of portray disabled people as these like naive little like virgins, but that's obviously not the case.
And victims, like victims. There's always a poor me mentality when it comes to disability representation in film.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like they might have typecasted, I don't know, because she seems like that in IRL. Literally, but also, like, it's just so great to see that type of representation. And I'd, like, noted down that there was a part where she was like, I pull. Like, she was just like she absolutely fucking slays. Like, she... all the guys were just like checking her out sort of thing. So I absolutely love that. One thing I also noticed was that there was also a point where it was probably where they were like all rocking up on the first day or something, but there was like a background character who was also a wheelchair user.
there was a couple of times in the B-roll where there was like different characters rolling past. Yeah. So I thought that was awesome. Finally, a college that doesn't have just one disabled person.
Literally, because that's like our whole thing is that like when it does happen, it's usually like only one token character. And I thought that was really cool that they did that. And it'll be really interesting to see in future seasons, because if there aren't going to be future seasons, because it's fucking amazing. But it'll be really interesting in future seasons to see if they like integrate other, I guess, disability experiences throughout as well. Because I only noticed wheelchair users. So I sort of thought like they might be interesting to show like invisible disability or just something that's not a wheelchair user. So, yeah. Did you notice anything you didn't really like about it?
I was waiting for you to be like, oh, and the college entry had ramps and not just stairs or something like that, because I feel like you definitely
did. They?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I wish I noticed like, that. I feel like I'm going to go back and watch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
because I'll exactly. Be like, well, how the fuck did she get in there?
Yeah, like there's no ramps at all. How the hell did this girl get into the school? Like, meh.
She just gets all the hot guys to lift her in, obviously.
Yeah, see, we're the same person. Maybe they could have included that. They could have included that. Maybe they did, and we just didn't notice. But I don't know. Like, I'm not sure that there was really, not that I can think of off the top of my head, but, and that being said, you know, like, 13 years in a chair, I'm still learning disability things, you know what I mean? Like, I'm, you know, like, I even get called out on things that I miss, and that's why, like, even when, it doesn't matter who I'm speaking to, like, I always make sure that I throw those disclaimers in there, like, you know, I'm not perfect, nobody's perfect, I'm still human, you know, there's still things that I'm learning, and I think things keep changing, you know, so dramatically that it's sometimes it's really hard to keep up with all the things. So I can't think of anything from the top of my head that I probably would have included more of, because I really feel like she was just, there was no tokenism in any of the characters. It was just, they were all just there. Like, they were all just there doing their thing. And I think I really appreciated that, because I feel like tokenism is definitely a thing that is very obvious, more so probably to us in the disability community. But, yeah, that was definitely not portrayed within this show.
I think for me, like, she was obviously one of the main side characters, and she gets a fair bit of airtime, but it would be nice to see her as, like, one of the main four. That would have been awesome. Like, the character was so well done and so well developed. I think she could have had more time even.
Yeah, and I kind of missed her. Like, in the episodes where she wasn't there, I was like, I want her more.
Sass in this situation.
She's so fun. Yeah.
I mean, I think I can speak from experience with castings and, like, shows like this only because I was almost on this season of Maths, and there had also been talk about me potentially casting for a bachelorette role as well. And now I have a partner and I'm very, very happy, and you'll never see me on any of those shows. Like, yeah. But I know that they generally throw these characters into the mix to see what the reaction is before they give them a pivotal role in a series like this, which I think is a bit shit. But again, you don't know what you don't know. So a show like this, I guess, you know, at the end of the day, this is an investment for the networks and for the show itself. So maybe she will get her own, you know, shining lead role in the next season. Let's touch wood. Let's hope and pray that she does. Because I feel like definitely she played such an amazing character that, like you said, Jay, like, they want to see more roles.
Exactly. And it's time to see this type of thing, like this type of representation, more consistent as well across the board, because it's like, we shouldn't just, you know, this whole podcast shouldn't even exist. We shouldn't have to actually sit here and talk about, you know, and then score and be so excited that we've got like a disabled character that actually is just like awesome and incidental and sassy and has sex and, like, you know, isn't desexualized and pitied and all that crap. Like, we shouldn't actually have to be like, yay, but well, that's where we're at.
I think the world's still walking on eggshells when it comes to dipping their toes in the disabled, disability inclusion. And that's what I want to see just completely be abolished over the next few years. Like, fuck the ums and ahs. Sorry, I swear a lot.
Same.
I'm a very passionate person. But throw the ums and ahs in the bin and don't just, wonder what's going to happen if you throw somebody like this into the mix, because at the end of the day, I go back to... Yeah. We're human, so why the hell not? Why shouldn't there be a character?
And also, the money factor. Yeah, and, but like you said as well before, the money factor for, film and TV, as if Eternals would have done anywhere near as well if they hadn't been more, hadn't been so inclusive. That representation was great as well, and we've spoken about that in a previous episode.
Because we talk a lot about, pleasing able-bodied audiences and letting them dip their toes in and stuff, but at the end of the day, the disability community is huge. So if we can tap into that market, there's a lot of disabled dollars. So I think some of the nerves around that sort of just someone just needs to do it.
And people are doing it, but slowly. And I think, the ones that are going to do it first are going to be the ones that get the maximum benefit. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what industry, fashion probably especially, and I'm talking campaign, and I'm talking as well as editorial stuff, whoever does it well first is going to see some mega money. On that, I think it's time to give our scores out of 5 on the inclusive disability representation scale. Robin, did you want to kick us off?
Yeah, man, I was so close to giving this a 5. But again, my only hesitation was I thought she could have been a main character. I thought the potential was there. That might happen in the next season, and then 100% that's getting a 5. But yeah, I gave it 4.5 because I thought it was pretty bang on the money on this one.
Yeah, I'm with Robin here. I'm 4.5, pending a 5 on the next season. There's always room for improvement.
I'm exactly the same. I'm a 4.5. And I think, come next season, if we do see more characters with disability or more of Jocelyn or Lolo's character, I think I would be a 5 as well. But hopefully there will be a season 2, and hopefully they do what we want.
I know, let's tag them. Let's just call them out.
Honestly, and I think that's one thing as well is, once people become more educated around inclusion and representation, it is just about asking for it, because, as much as we say that the disability community as well, makes up roughly 20% of the population, and we are, quite influential, and we do have a lot of money to be spending, we also... aren't the majority. So we do still need allies to come and, A, uplift us, 2, amplify our message, and 3, also just if you're a consumer, ask for better. Consumer markets are so competitive. It's if enough of you literally out there are asking for better representation of people with disability, they're going to eventually listen because they want the money. So anyway, that's my little rant over. And I think that is all for this week's episode, and I'm so, so grateful for both of you for joining me. Thank you so much for your time, Rhiannon. I'm sure everybody has loved giggling along with you, learning about you, and also hearing your thoughts on Sex Lives of College Girls. Everyone who followed along, thank you so much. We want to hear your thoughts. You can find us on social media. If you search Reframe Podcast or Podcast Reframed, we'll show up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we would love for you to share, help us amplify the message, leave a comment, tell us what your score was on the IDR scale, tell us what you thought about Sex Lives of College Girls. Even if you want to ask Rhiannon a question, I can pass it on. We just want to get some interaction with you guys at home and hear what you think about the podcast and about our reviews. So jump on and let us know. We do also have an email if that suits you best. It's hello@reframepodcast.com. And before we sign off, I also just want to say a huge thank you to the Community Broadcasting Foundation for helping to fund this series. But that is it. Thank you so much again. And we'll be back next week with another fabulous episode of Reframed. Bye.